Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure.
That's Adele's laugh. That's my new favorite thing right there.
It is so witchy.
Suicide Squad's going to drop soon.
Yay.
What, like in a couple weeks, right?
I know it was August.
I feel like August 5th
comes
out.
Summer's going fast. Huh?
Man, I feel like that movie, they've been teasing us for years.
Well, you know, they went back.
Yeah.
I got some inside scoop. They went back and did some reshoots to make it more Deadpool-like.
Oh, like funny
more
moments?
Bloodier, more effects, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yes, and some laugh moments because Deadpool.
Well, they got
they
got a cool soundtrack coming out. They just released a song from the movie called "Sucker for Pain" with Lil Wayne, Wiz Khalifa, Imagine Dragons, Ty Dolla $ign, and X Ambassadors. Here's a little taste of that right here. You got that? I got it. I talk to you.
Devoted to destruction, a full dosage of detrimental dysfunction. I'm dying slow, but the devil trying to rush me. See, I'm a fool for pain. I'm a dummy.
Yay.
Man, I want that.
I like that.
That song's so good.
Yay.
So
yeah.
It's not even country, and I like it.
That's the first non-country song that you like, Big Al Mac,
right?
In a long time.
Oh, right.
Big Al and I were talking about this story that came out over the break.
Yeah.
I like seeing kids that hustle.
Yeah.
You know, not kids that are like breaking the law, but like hustle, like trying to make money however they can.
Not selling drugs, but entrepreneur. Yeah.
Well, there's just so much negative stuff out there, especially with kids. And okay, especially with minority kids.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of bad stuff out there. When you see a story like this about this kid.
It makes you feel good.
That is just trying to make some money for himself and his mama, who's got a single mother.
She's sick.
And who's sick and unable to work, and has been unable to work for, I think, the past 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. So this little kid has been mowing yards, and he's been washing cars, just basically whatever, and trying to go to school.
Yeah.
Not trying, going to school. And doing well in school.
A's.
Doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So, like, when there's two kinds of hustle, where you can hustle and go do the bad hustle, or
right.
do the good hustle where you make money however you
he's
can.
He's doing the good hustle.
He's doing the good hustle. He's 16 years old. He was at a grocery store in Memphis. And he was asking a gentleman, hey, can I carry your bags to your car in exchange for some food, maybe?
Yeah.
I wanted a bag of donuts.
Yeah, a bag of donuts.
Know, normally, when I first saw this story, I'm like, I would ignore this person.
See, and that's, I
but
was thinking the same thing.
I would.
Well,
I'll be honest with you.
You don't talk to people because, you know, they're going to ask me to buy some cookies.
Right.
They're going to ask me to buy a magazine subscription, you know, and you try to be, no, thank you, not interested.
Right.
I don't even, like, no, thank you, I'm not interested. That's just
because there's so many out there that aren't
so
doing
many.
The bad thing. I got them coming by my park. Hey, you giving some money from a basketball team?
Yeah.
You ain't playing no basketball. I've seen you for 3 years. You're not on no team. You're trying to hustle people for
this
money.
This is a kid asking for donuts just for breakfast. And so the gentleman, I guess, was curious, asked him about his situation, found out what he's going through, his mom being sick and all that.
Yeah.
So the gentleman bought the kid and his family a week's worth of groceries.
Great.
Which is really cool, and he could have stopped there.
And 99.9% of us would.
And we
would
have felt good.
If we went that far, yeah.
So then he went home, and he thought about it more, and then he's like, you know what? No, this guy looks like he's been raised well. So he set up a GoFundMe page to help him and his family out. And so far,
a total strangers set up the
total
GoFundMe
strangers
page for this kid. Let's get my name. Do you have the kid's name?
I don't have it in front of me, but if you can find it,
okay.
That'd be great.
All right.
So far, that GoFundMe page has raised over $270,000.
Oh, man.
Of just people coming together.
Yeah, I think she's going to, he was telling her, you can buy a house now
furniture.
And all this stuff, you know. And
the news report showed the house, and it's very modest, to say the least, and not a stitch of furniture in the house.
Yeah.
I mean, it's boy, the kid's sleeping on the floor.
Oh, cool. Just a random meeting at a grocery store, and this gentleman changes this family's life.
Yeah, it's this guy with a mullet.
Yeah, right?
It's like, you know, this
like
kid
Billy
to
Ray
go
Cyrus
up to him, and it's like, it takes nerve and guts. And like
Chauncey
you said,
Black.
Chauncey Black.
Chauncey's Chance is the
campaign. Kyle could have just blown him off, and look, you know.
Yeah, Chauncey's Chance is the campaign on GoFundMe.
Do you have the guy's name that actually set it up?
Yeah, no. Matt White.
Okay.
Matt White.
Well, his name's Matt White, and he's white, and then Chauncey's name is Chauncey Black.
It don't matter if you're black or white.
Let's pause that way.
Yeah.
There you go. Speaking of money.
Yeah.
Big Al Mac on Friday, we interviewed MC Hammer.
We did.
We did. We absolutely did. It was a dream come true for some of us, especially for Big Al Mack, because Big Al Mack had some issues to resolve.
MC Hammer,
so uncomfortable.
Even before that, MC Hammer is a legend. We all know this.
Sure.
And MC Hammer was a legend, and he rose to fame really, really fast,
yeah.
And then, unfortunately, he fell almost just as fast.
So before we interviewed him, Big Al was like, yeah, man, I might bring up the fact that he owes me a couple from back in the day when I had my limo service.
Yeah.
And Kelly was like very adamant, said, no, Al.
You have to understand, back then...
It's not a professional way of handling
not,
it at all.
I was just kind of bringing it up in jest. But it legitimately owed me some money from thousands of dollars worth of limousine service that we did back in the day. And
there's
never
a better
paid.
Time to handle it than during an interview.
I know. I was,
how's he going to respond?
I know. I was just doing it kind of in jest.
You be
yeah,
the judge.
I was hilarious.
If you miss the interview, Kid Nation, don't worry. We have the clip right here. You be the judge. Is it awkward? I don't know. You tell me.
Speaking of back in the day, Mr. Hammer, Mr. MC, I just want to... because we met a long time ago.
You know Al Mack.
I know you're not going to remember me, but you came into Dallas for... This is when you were, like, touring with the big, like, 100 people or whatever it was.
Your entourage.
Your entourage. Big-time entourage. So, your manager called us, and we picked you up, and a whole bunch of us. And I just want to say thank you for patronizing my limo service. We drove you around on the limo service at the time. And if you have the name of your manager... Like, back then, it would be awesome because they never paid me.
Yeah. Well, he probably lived right there with you in Dallas, one of them. So I'm gonna give you his name. And
really,
what name do you want me to give you?
Oh, it's been so many years. I don't know.
It's been like 20 years.
I'm sure you got the invoice still, Al.
I'll try and find it.
Because you're not holding on to
you
it at
the
all.
The highlight of his limo career.
Thanks, Adele.
Embarrassing.
So it was awkward listening back to it.
It was awkward.
And now we have an update.
We have some good news and some bad news. Here is White Cheddar, the lady favorite, to tell us all about these news.
The lady's favorite?
Yeah.
Hey, lady favorite.
Good news. We did get the manager's name.
You did?
And contact email and number.
Oh, wow.
Is that the good news?
That is the
White
good
Cheddar?
News.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
White Cheddar not only produces, he also helps out Big Al.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate that, man.
The bad news.
Uh-huh. The bad news.
Five people have reached out on you owe them money. So I wasn't sure where I needed to direct those.
What are the names?
Oh, yes.
What are the dollar amounts?
Some are doctors, some are other things.
What's the grand total of the amount owed?
I didn't even go that far.
Darn,
if they didn't
Robert.
Leave it, I didn't go and ask.
What kind of debts? Medical billing?
Some of them, yeah.
Some of them, yeah. Yeah. Maybe back from that whole knee surgery, yeah.
No, that was covered by insurance.
Yeah. That's right. Everyone
you know
has
what? That's,
rogue
that's the,
medical
that's the
bills.
Risk I run. And I bet you got five, there's probably about 50 more.
Okay. So send those to...
Yeah.
If Big Al owes you money, go ahead and call all day long.
Just give me a call.
Dollar amount. We'd like to have a running total.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
in the thousands.
Yeah.
Well, you use the interview and the show, the public forum.
Sure.
For debt collect. So now we can use ours to
I put myself out there
debt.
Like that. Yeah.
Sure.
I can think of about 10 more off the top of my head.
That you owe?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you're okay with that?
No.
If you went to school with Al back in the day and he borrowed $5, by now that's worth at least $500.
I'm telling you.
So,
still gunning for you.
Please let us know if Al owes you money. We will continue to
run. I knew as soon as I said, I bet everybody I owe money too. Going to call a radio station.
We're going to tally this up.
I'm aware of you.
All right, ladies, let's get some help here from Matthew Hussey, author of Get the Guy. He helps you get the guy. He's got this video out right now that I see a lot of girls posting about who should pay at dinner on the first date.
Oh, boy.
And it's got a lot of people thinking, yeah, like, who should pay? And his answer is actually pretty shocking, but the more he talks about it, you're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Hmm.
Well, let's hear about
it. So maybe we'll talk about that, and he'll give us some more tips on how to get the guy. You know, Al and I are cool. Like, we don't need
to. You good?
But the ladies.
Yeah, we good.
Yeah. He'll help you out. Matthew Hussey on the phone next.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
All right, get ready for a good dose of that good old British accent, ladies.
Yeah, I'm ready for that.
The author of the book Get the Guy, which Kelly started reading, and guess what? She has now
a guy.
I do.
Matthew Hussey's on the phone with us right now. What's up, Matthew?
Yep, don't need Matthew anymore.
That's not true. You at least maybe need me in the sense of a friendship, Kelly,
even though
you've got me in a professional sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you guys keep the guy.
Yeah, you should. That would be a great book. Keep the guy.
We actually already have a complete program called Keep the Guys.
We
always want to make sure we cater to everyone's needs. Are you happy, Kelly? That's the important thing.
Very well.
Enjoying life.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Matthew. It's 5 months in, so we're in the honeymoon phase. But as I was telling Al this morning, why does the honeymoon phase ever have to end?
Right.
We might be that couple.
No.
Well, also, though, I think the sort of the older and the wiser that you get, the honeymoon phase, you sort of learn which people there's some truth to that with and which people you should run away from because it's just passion. So,
right.
I think you can trust yourself more than that by this point, Kelly.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. I feel like I have your blessing.
Always.
Matthew, I wanted to talk to you about this video that's been circulating around Facebook lately. My wife's friends out in San Diego are actually all talking about it. And it's the video of you talking about who pays on the first date. And when Matthew started talking, the girls in the room were not feeling it.
But, well, obviously, the man always pays on the first date.
No, Matthew.
On the first date.
Matthew has a solid point.
What is it? What is it, Matthew? Because I haven't seen
the
video.
So I released this video, Who Pays? And really, the point of the video is to say, look, if you as a woman don't offer to pay your share on a first date, you weren't taught right. If a guy doesn't actually pay the bill on the first date, he wasn't taught right.
Right.
And the whole point of the video was to say that, look, you should treat the person that could become your partner the way you would treat a friend. When you go out, you don't take advantage of them. You don't feel entitled to something. You do it because, hey, this is a kind of fair game here, and our time is equal, and let's enjoy each other. Now, I happen to, as a man, I was always brought up to pay the bill.
Yeah.
So I'm always going to pay the bill no matter what, right? That's who I am. And some people think that's sexist and whatnot, but it's just something I enjoy doing. Now, if I got out on a date with someone and they didn't even offer, I would be slightly concerned because I'd suddenly think, well, this is the most polite they're ever probably going to be.
No.
And they're not even offering right now. So it's not that I want someone to actually pay. And my point to women isn't that you need to go on a date with the guy who makes you pay half a second time, because that's your choice. The next day, if he makes you pay half, you can the next day say, you know what, I'm not going to date that guy again because he asked me on a date and he didn't pay the bill. That's fine. But you scare away even some great guys and some very chivalrous guys by not at least reaching to your woman.
Yeah.
Gosh, see, Matthew, I can't disagree more, Matthew.
I have to ask you about this, Matthew, because I am single, and I am definitely the type that probably is too independent. Yes,
yeah.
Like I've offered to buy drinks and that kind of thing, and my girlfriends have always told me, Jenna,
don't
do that because that scares guys away. I always pay for myself or offer
to
pay.
On the first date, I say never, ever, because a man. If you offer to pay on the first date, the man takes that to mean you're not interested.
No.
I don't ever offer to pay until...
No, just, you can still...
No.
You can say, hey, you know, let's,
nope.
We can go hard.
Stop arguing with Matthew.
Not on a first date.
Listen to me, Kelly. You guys are talking about your girlfriend's told you not to pay for... Right,
so
Jenna?
So is Kelly, because they're like, Jenna, you just go to the bar and get yourself a drink.
Here,
so don't do that.
This is coming from guys now.
Yeah.
Al, JC, and Matthew Hussey.
Yeah.
We're telling you, if you reach for your wallet and at least attempt to pay, we're
going
to look at you and go like...
So we're just going
through the motions. No, not going through the motions. Some guys may actually go with it and let you pay. But at least you reaching, you're like, this girl's like, okay, she's 50-50,
nope.
Cool.
No, nope, y'all are wrong.
I think, Kelly, here's an additional point that you might not have considered. If you don't even reach, and therefore he's forced to pay, that doesn't tell you anything about the type of guy.
He asked me
exactly.
Out.
Like when I ask a girlfriend out to dinner and she's like, okay, you know, or she doesn't really have the money, she doesn't want to go out to eat, I pay because I ask her.
I will only offer to pay maybe on the second, usually not. Usually by the third.
You need to at least reach, Kelly.
On a first date. I will not.
If I was a woman, it would tell me more about a guy if I reached for my wallet and he still said, no, I really want to get this. That would tell me more about him than if I had just sort of coerced him in pain by not even reaching.
This is rocking my world because I always have offered to split until recently.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been on that many dates, but, you know, when I offer to pay and girls are like, Jenna, don't do that. It's emasculating to a guy.
No, we're cool with it. And it'll let you know if the guy's chivalrous. If he pays,
and of course,
if he goes,
what's more fun for a guy than to say,
No. I got you.
I want to get this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the fun part. If you don't even reach, you lose the fun part. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'm going to have fun.
I'm like, yeah, he just took care of me. And that is like a big moment.
So
the man took care of it.
So many messages here.
If I go out with Matthew Hussey, I'm going to reach, but I'm going to expect him to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn right.
He's balling.
Big Al, I wouldn't let you, mate, so don't worry about it.
See, there you go.
All right. Well, we're just going to, well, you know what? He's the expert. I'm not.
That's right.
But I'm just going to tell you, that's what I've always done.
I know.
You know? And I guess that every situation's different.
It is, but.
But he's saying as a general rule.
Yeah. You could actually see that video. It's up at howtogettheguy.com. But there's another video that you posted, Matthew, where you're talking about body image. And you shared a story about your own body insecurity.
Yeah, I remember growing up, I was a skinny guy at school, and I always wanted to be a little taller, a little broader, a little more muscle. And I remember sort of looking up to people who were these giants who had bodies that I would never have based on my genetics, and thinking, oh God, I wish I could be like that. And you know, the point I made in this video was that we all have body insecurities. Everyone does. And we compare ourselves to people in magazines. We compare ourselves to the best-looking person we can find, our idol. And my point was, you can find someone who is the rock star of your body type and model them. If you must compare yourself to somebody, which I don't advise anyway, but we all do secretly to some extent. If you must compare yourself to somebody, don't compare yourself to a body type you'll never have. Compare yourself to someone who really rocks your category. Like if you are the super skinny dude or whatever, you look at someone like Bruce Lee, and this is a guy who is absolutely shredded in every way and has the most incredible body. Fine, model yourself after someone like that, something that's actually attainable for you. If you're a woman and you have a bigger figure, find the rock star of that figure and model yourself after that person, because then you're in a category that you can actually achieve. You'll never be happy as long as you're comparing yourself to somebody who's in a category you cannot be in.
Smart.
It is smart. It is smart. Who do you compare yourself to, JC?
Who would I
compare? Yeah, what body would you compare yourself to?
I kind of want.
Oh, this is going to be very telling.
This is very tough. Who has a similar body type as me? I guess Ryan Reynolds, I would like to look like him.
There you go.
That's how I would like to.
See, you're asking somebody who has no body issues whatsoever. This doesn't really work with JC.
No, but Ryan Reynolds has like a dope body. Like if I could switch bodies with somebody, I would switch with Ryan Reynolds.
Well, see, what I do is I look at someone like a curvy girl like Blac Chyna, for instance. That's the one that pops into mind because I just saw her today online and she's wearing a dress and some of her, you can see some of her cellulite and, you know, she's a normal girl. But you know what? She's rocking it. She's like, I think I look good.
Yeah.
And she's putting her makeup on. She's getting dressed up and thinks she's cute and she's confident, which I think is the most sexy thing any woman can be.
Of course. What about you, Al?
The Rock.
No. You can't compare yourself to a 6'6", 275-pound muscle.
We're in the same category. I'm way down here in the category. He's way up there.
What about you, Jenna?
Oh, my gosh. I've never considered it. Like a celebrity that I think I have the same body type as.
Uh-huh.
Gosh, I don't know. That's so
hard. That's
hard.
That's a hard question.
That's so hard to do without
sounding vain.
Well, it's not vain. It's like,
well, no, it is. Because if you pick somebody that's really hot, you'd be like, well, you think you're something.
Then people compare.
And then if you pick somebody who looks terrible, you'd be like, oh, you're just fishing. Uh-huh. You can't win as a girl.
It's lose-lose. Yeah. So I don't know. I'll think about it.
Kelly disagrees with this one too, Matthew.
No, I agree with them.
You just don't say it out loud.
The girls can't say it out loud.
Now, you're also promoting, you have a new website, getthetexts.com.
Yeah, over the years, I've had so many, like, you guys know me, we've talked a lot, we talk about so many interesting, profound things, and over the years, I've had amazing conversations with women all over the world, and I've had the chance to work with millions of them, literally, and the conversation that comes up over and over again amongst all these deep and meaningful conversations is texting. What do I text the guy back in different scenarios? And I wanted to give people something that really did it for them so that they didn't have to keep it was really a way of saving myself from these questions so that they didn't have to keep asking me what to text back, but I actually put some of my best text messages that women could send to attract guys in one place. Oh. So I put them on a website called getthetext.com. And it literally on that website has 9 magic texts that no man can resist. And I'm excited for people to see these. I have a couple of examples.
I was going to say, give us a couple. Yeah.
Yes.
But these give people an example of the types of things we have. So some of them are very simple, some of them a little more complex. But one thing that I think people don't do enough by text is flirt. They have fun and they're very kind of friendly, but they're afraid to flirt because they feel like that's jumping in with the sharks. I'm just going to show someone I like them and lose all my power. So what I say to people is, look, don't swim with the sharks. Just go fishing. Put out a bit of bait. And one way to do this is the next time a guy gives you a compliment or even the hint of a compliment, you write back, my friends are going to ask me why I'm blushing right now. The beauty of that text is that when you say, my friends are going to ask me why I'm blushing right now, you're paying him a huge compliment back. Hey, you've had this effect on me. And he's not feeling so ambiguous as to whether you like him. He's like, oh, this my compliment made her blush. That makes me feel great, and it certainly makes me want to compliment her again. So that's the first one, and that's going to create a lot of tension when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
love it.
That's going to be great. The next one is women have to be more prepared to call guys out a little bit. Women are far too bashful, I think, about calling men out when men's standards aren't very good of either how they treat them or how they go about things. So I commonly get asked, what about when he's always texting me and he never actually asks me out? I actually got this text, so I know this works because it works on me. It made me feel ridiculous. I sent this person a text, you know, how's your week? And I'd been doing this evidently for weeks without realizing that we'd never actually been out. And this person sent me a message back. She said, so are you going to ask me out or can I expect a how's my week for the rest of my life?
Whoa.
And she put a little wink at the end of it. She said, so are you going to ask me out or can I expect a how's my week for the rest of my life?
That's a cute little flirty
way of
asking.
Done.
Putting the ball in your court.
I thought it was lovely. And it does two things. It flirts because it shows that she's interested. But at the same time, it calls me out on my nonsense. It says, hey, look, I'm shining a light on the elephant in the room, which is you keep texting me and never asking me out. The last example I'll give is a text that really gives you a massive chance of taking this relationship from something casual to something committed, which I know is a big thing for a lot of women who are texting a guy, seeing a guy, and it doesn't seem to be progressing. So you can send this when you're out with your friends, and maybe you even send it when he knows you're out with your friends, Friday night, and you send him a text saying, it just occurred to me that when people ask me out, I have no idea what to tell them. We should talk about it. No pressure, but I don't want to disrespect us at this stage if this is going somewhere. Now, what I love about this text is that you're not saying, let's have the conversation now by text. You're saying, hey, look, let's have that discussion when we're together. But when you say, it just occurred to me that when people ask me out, I have no idea what to tell them, what you're really communicating is, there's people asking me out right now.
Yeah.
I'm out and in demand. And it's the fact that someone has asked me out that has actually sparked this text for me. You're not saying that explicitly, but the implication is there. And when men feel like, oh, gosh, there's stakes here, I'm going to lose her. She's wonderful. And other people are noticing she's wonderful, too. That's when he starts to feel the urge to act. And so, as I said, you say, it just occurred to me that when people ask me out, I have no idea what to tell them. We should talk about it. No pressure, but I don't want to disrespect us at this stage if this is going somewhere. So you've got a combination of competition, but loyalty as well. I don't want to disrespect us if this is going somewhere, which you haven't confirmed any more than he has.
Okay, so if the guy comes back with, well, you can go out with him if you want to. And then it puts the ball in your court, and you're like, well, I don't want to.
I think, that gives you your answer, doesn't it? And that's the key thing is women are always saying, I don't know what he wants. I don't know where this is going. He just gave you your answer.
The website, again, is getthetextsplural.com.
Got it.
And you also have howtogettheguy.com. Matthew Hussey, as always, it's been a pleasure, my man.
Yeah, man.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank
no problem.
You.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Kid Nation, pretty split on the whole pulling out the wallet on the first date.
Well,
the girl pulling out the wallet.
I'm just telling you what I believe.
I know.
And everybody can believe what you want to believe, but that's, I just feel like a man needs to feel like a man on that first date.
I think we agreed at the with the bottom line where the man needs to pay. It's just getting there that we were, it was choppy.
No, I just feel like a man doesn't find it to, like, a woman's not taking it seriously. Like, she's not. I feel like it sends out a message that I'm not interested in you romantically because I don't want you to take care of me. That's what I feel. Now, Matthew doesn't feel that way.
And here's a couple text messages. Emily wrote us and said, Kelly, one of the reasons my now husband decided he wanted a second date with me was because I offered to pay on our first date.
There you go.
Of course, he didn't let me, but after his ex that took advantage of his generosity for years, he has appreciated that.
I get that.
Another one. I'm with Kelly. This is from Joy. I'd be completely thrown if the guy actually let me pay. And I'd feel like I were disrespecting his chivalry and even taking me out on a date in the first place.
Yeah, I wouldn't go out with him again.
Right?
If he was like, oh, cool,
Alan.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Would you...
Oh, you want to pay, baby? Oh,
I'm
going
to ask him, would you have...
Do you remember what happened the first day? No, you let him pay, right?
Would you have been offended?
Turned off?
Or turned off if I offered to pay on the first date?
Boom.
See what he says.
Thanks, Kelly.
We could have called him, but
yeah, we could have.
I don't like the blind side of him.
Oh, he's on. Hello, Alan.
Hello, I'm Alan.
Hi, Alan. we'll talk to you in a minute. And Kelly, I have tested the theory. This is from an actual person who did it, and it feels better when the man actually declines your offer to pay than you assuming he will pay. I can tell you he's impressed with my other offer, but he wants to pay for me.
No other
what?
Offer.
With my offer, but he wants to pay. So she could tell that he wants to pay. He wants to be in it.
Another offer.
That's how you really know his intentions.
Yeah.
If he lets you pay, intention's bad. If he doesn't pay, he's into you.
Yeah, but I don't think you should offer at all on the first date.
I know.
Gotta pay to play.
That's why I said it's 50-50.
Pay
it's
to
a
play.
50-50 split.
It does seem kind of fake. You're offering in still in the hopes that he's going to pay.
Right. We all do that with our friends, though.
Silly game.
When you go out with your rich friend, and you're like, oh, hold on, doc. Let me reach my wallet. It's way back here.
You start doing the pat. You know good and well where your money is.
Yeah.
I have one friend I don't do that with. She married a doctor, and when she offers to pay, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
But you still want to reach real quick.
Right.
No. I told her, we're not going to fight anymore. You married a doctor. You get to pay.
You pay. All right. Caroline Craddock's in studio with us right now.
Hey.
Because she was a witness to Big Al's last weekend with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
I was, yeah.
So you were there.
I was there.
Before we get into Big Al's story, there is something going on for Kids today, right?
Yes. If you go to a Raising Cane's today, 15% of the proceeds will go to Kids.
Yay!
And it is scientifically proven that calories don't count when it's for charity.
That's
so that's the good news about that.
I'm happy you brought up that study because it is 100% factual.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And... obviously, you can go eat the chicken, but you can make a donation at the register, too.
Yeah, they have a special button.
Yeah.
So if you weren't, you know, you're like, you have a whole office, maybe you want to treat the office to lunch today, knowing that 15% of the net proceeds go to Kids, or if you don't want to cook tonight, take it home for the family. It works on to-go orders, too. It's not just dine-in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Go that's important to note.
Eat and help.
A whole bunch of chicken fingers.
Yeah, everybody needs to eat today. Might as well.
Thank you, Raising Cane's.
Yes, thank you, Cane's.
Todd Graves.
Todd and his, that dude's got a cool voice. I tell you what.
You got a man, Kevin. You got a man, Kevin.
Hello, Alan. You there still?
Hello, I'm Alan.
Hi, Alan. Okay. Oh, yeah. We'll get back to you in a second, buddy. Big Al, the floor is yours because we've been waiting a year to see how this would pan out.
And it went by so quickly this past year after we found out that she was going to be moving to Detroit. So this weekend, Saturday specifically, we had a plan to go to dinner, the two of us.
What?
Yeah, I know.
By yourself?
I know.
No friends?
No friends on this one. And then we would catch up with the friends after dinner for a little karaoke. All right? That is a simple plan, but we went out to a nice steak dinner and had a booth. And it's always like, do I sit across from the booth or next to her? Sit next to her.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You sat next to her?
Sat next to her, so we kind of hold hands a little bit. We held a lot of hands this weekend. So anyway, had dinner at
more than you had the whole relationship. Maybe
there was some hand-holding going on.
You were turning me on with your erotic talking. We were. So we laughed and talked, and we really enjoyed each other's company at dinner. So then after dinner, it was time for to go to my bar. So we took a car back there. So
what was the romantic event going on at the bar?
Karaoke, and it seemed like
was that before or after the wrestling.
This was, there was no wrestling.
There was
Saturday.
No wrestling this night. Okay, no, good.
This is what Al posted that night. I feel a big karaoke night coming up at Big Al's McKinney Avenue Tavern.
I did.
Because he was ready to go.
I did.
Well, you still got to advertise
of course
on your woman's last night in town.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. She can't forget about that. So it's, we walk into my bar, and it seemed like after we'd been there for 15, 20 minutes, and maybe it was just me, but every single song was like a love song. Like, I mean, it was just...
Well, it's up to you to get up there and change that.
I was like, this is depressing me even more. I'm already depressed because my girlfriend is here. It's our last night in town for a while anyway.
And Caroline, you were there when this was all going on this night?
It was like watching a train wreck, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I was there.
So I made a conscious decision, just like you said, Kelly. I made a conscious decision.
You're going to cry?
I said, I've got to change this mood in this bar.
Yeah.
I mean, we're crowded. People. I mean, the people were singing well. But it's just depressing songs.
Oh, my God.
So,
who sings this song in karaoke?
I don't know. Like, just all kinds of songs. So I go out there. I go up and I grab the mic. I grabbed the mic, Kelly, and I sang one of my favorites. I sang Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone.
That's when I walked in the bar.
That's it. And I didn't even think about the fact of what the song Since You've Been Gone.
Isn't it about moving on and being good? And
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just trying to sing something upbeat.
I can breathe for the first time.
I wasn't even thinking about that.
It's like freedom.
I'm so moving on. Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking about that. So I was trying not to focus on that. I was just trying to get the crowd, get the mood up, trying to change the mood. Yeah.
Caroline, what was Dr. Girlfriend's face like when he was singing Since You've Been Gone about how he can breathe for the first time?
She's such a trooper that she's used to the, like, Big Al show. So yeah.
Inappropriateness.
She's just used to it.
Perfect.
So
I have to, first of all, before I go on with the story, I have to apologize to customers Saturday night because I sang more karaoke that night than I had ever sang in my entire life.
Yeah, because you're trying to avoid intimacy with your girlfriend, so you have to be on stage in the spotlight. Yeah.
I was trying. I think, Kelly, looking back, I think I was really, really sad, and I was trying to avoid it.
Yeah.
Trying to not be sad, and I was just trying to, yeah.
Guys, so, they're all the same.
Caroline, you were there.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
In my first set.
It's that bad, Caroline's. Yeah. Listen to her.
How many songs, this is no lie, how many songs would you say, we sang one together.
Be honest, Caroline.
We sang together one time. Would you say that I sang?
Honest to God,
mm-hmm.
six songs.
In a row.
In the first set?
That's abusive. Yeah.
It was an hour.
Bro. Ow.
He sang that twice.
Go sit in the corner with your girlfriend and neck and stuff and kiss
so,
and all that
so
good stuff.
So I would. I'd go over there and we'd talk for a little bit. And then I just, Kelly, I would start to, like, cry almost. I would.
Yeah, so you know what you do? You go have some one-on-one time with her on her last night and be emotional.
And I sang and I said, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm not singing anymore.
Oh, they probably didn't say, no, don't be sorry, Al. We good.
Well, he roped me into it, and I felt good about it because I needed to break up the set a little bit.
Yeah.
So we sang Killing Me Softly. He sang Killing Me Softly. I sang back up.
Jeez, Al!
And then he's like, stay up here, baby. I'm like, what am I getting myself into? It starts with a TV theme song set.
Yeah.
Starting with Cheers, which I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just trying to sing anything.
I honestly dropped the mic and I walked off stage.
She did.
Because I had a pizza waiting for me, but I couldn't stand up there and do it.
It was. Anyway.
And then he gives a monologue about how Janelle's leaving, and half the people that are at the bar obviously are there to see Al and you know are fans of the show, but the other half of the people are just there because it's a bar.
Sure.
And so they're like, "What's going on?" His last parting words for Janelle.
Dr. Go.
Don't get shot in Detroit.
We have audio of the one person laughing.
No way.
Adele liked it.
So we after the second set, we walked home.
Hold on, man. Hold on now.
I saw them
don't
walk home.
Get
they were
shot.
Holding hands.
It was a Detroit joke.
Look, he's just making humor. He cannot handle
isn't that
the
sweet?
Emotion.
Sunday morning.
That's your parting words at your bar, bro.
Yeah.
Sunday morning.
It was bad, y'all.
Yeah.
Sunday morning.
You know what? Did we expect anything else?
She was still there Sunday morning?
Sunday morning.
She has nowhere else to go.
Oh, I forgot she was staying with you.
Yeah, she's there in my house. So right, Sunday morning, she's got her bags. The plan for the morning is to pack. I mean, the stuff is kind of packed, but she's been kind of getting into it all this past week.
Yeah.
She's been living out of a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
So we just cuddling each other on the couch, and I just started crying. We didn't even say anything.
See, there you go, Al. This is Kelly, the moment you needed to have with your girlfriend.
Kelly, we didn't say it. It was so weird. We're just sitting there like watching TV, and we're realizing that this is not going to happen anymore. And so we're just sitting there like holding each other on the couch, and I started crying. She wasn't crying at first. And I just started crying. Like I don't mean like, I mean like.
She was annoying.
You were making noise?
I'm like,
you were noisy.
I couldn't even help it, man. I was about to start crying. Now. I couldn't even help it. And then she started crying when I started crying.
Was she noisy crying too?
She was just sniffing. Just
so, did you do the cry like the guy from Intervention? Like that? Did you do that one?
I didn't do
that. That's how you know you're really hurt.
So then Curtis gets up like, Curtis, yeah. She loves Curtis so much. And then Curtis knows something is going on, but he doesn't know exactly what. So we're just hugging Curtis. We're just, and her little dog, Soph. We're just all hugging and crying. And then you know, I'm like, do you realize, and I guess I hadn't realized this, I do everything with you. Like, you know, I don't do a lot that's not work, but everything that I do without that's not work, and even some of it's work that
except
is work.
Except for karaoke.
I do all of it with her.
Yeah.
And so she goes.
That's all you on karaoke.
And so she goes, I'm not going to even have anybody to watch that stupid Bachelorette show with. And she started crying. And we just cried. But that turned out to be a good thing later.
Yeah.
So. We
later.
Go to,
mine.
Well, I'll tell you.
Is Al crying? Is that the kind of cry you were feeling, dude?
I don't.
It's okay.
I know.
It's okay. So, we all have those.
So anyway, we go to brunch with some friends, and you know, and we hung out at my bar for a minute, and then I had to take her to the airport. And so we're like almost eerily quiet on the way to the airport. You know, just like holding hands and just
more hand holding.
But it
was
actually,
a quartet there?
No quartet. So we get to the airport, and one of her bags is overweight, one's underweight. So we have to do that. We're that couple now that has to change the bag and stuff. So then it's walk to the gate, walk to the security checkpoint time now.
Yeah, you can't even walk to the gate anymore.
Yeah.
But the guy offered to take you back there. You didn't take him up?
It's
too much.
So
they were offering to break the rules?
Yeah, remember the guy, he wrote us and said, hey, I work at the airport. I can get you there.
I don't remember that.
It's all good. So she fortunately is TSA pre-check. So there's a long line for the non-pre-check people. Uh-huh. And then pre-check, you walk right through. So there's a long line of people, and there's me and her at the TSA pre-check. I said, well, I guess this is it. So we'd already cried before. So we kind of got most of the crying out of the way, but we're still kind of, we got a little moist.
Well, see you later.
You're supposed to be like, I'll see you, you know,
I know. I mean, we're kind of small talking. And so we kissed a long time, like right there.
Everybody's like, get a ring.
Oh, it's a go-away kiss. It's a going-away kiss. It's fine.
Whatever. I'd be the person in the long line crying. Like, I watch other people's relationship moments, and I get emotional.
Yeah, Al, you kiss that woman.
I mean, she out. All the little lipstick on, it was all over me. We're like crying. I'm like, because I'm not really a big kisser and PDA guy. Yeah. But
did your mom walk up and go, Alaric Mack? Not in public, young man.
And so we kissed for a long time, and then, I mean, it was, I won't say it was surreal. Because I was
like, it's like, bye.
You just have to leave and go through security.
And then, so she walks through, and then there's a little place where I can still see her. So I'm like, hey there, bye.
Did she turn around? And, what if she didn't turn back around?
It was just like.
Sometimes that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And
just
it was
don't
not
look back.
Looking back.
Yeah.
Look
and, that
back.
Was, and that was it. That was, I mean, I just walked. I
walked out by yourself?
I walked out.
What'd you do when you got in your car? You break down?
No, I really didn't. I just made sure I had a good credit card to get because it was $3 to park. And
you were there that long?
I didn't have.
You already forgot about your girlfriend.
Yeah,
you're thinking
that's
about parking.
Moral of the story. Yeah, great.
Where'd but you go was, after you left the airport?
The bar.
I went back to the bar.
You got any numbers
well,
on the way?
Speaking of pulling out your wallet,
yes.
Alan wrote back.
Oh,
okay.
We
did. Okay.
Yeah.
And I said, would you have been...
Kelly's
said,
over, Al's yes, story.
Yeah. Back to me.
That's right.
Well, I got to finish it because we started the break.
Sure. So your question
more,
now,
Al.
That's the
Al?
End of my story.
Oh, there you go.
Is there anything else?
No, there isn't.
You went back to your bar.
The man is hurt.
He's fine. Look at him. He's fine.
He's not fine.
So I asked Alan.
Can you play Heartless by Kanye right now?
I said, would you have been offended or turned off if I offered to pay on the first date? He said, not offended, but on first meeting, that would have felt like a gesture of a friend or business acquaintance. I like to pay on the first date, and I expected to. It made me feel like we were courting. He's very old-fashioned like that.
Did you prep him with that
answer?
No,
I just flat-out asked him. We didn't even discuss it.
You said, would you?
So anyway, I got back in the car.
That was it. Was there more?
I threw it back in park and I ran back to the gate. I said, baby!
You chased the plane down on the tarmac?
On the tarmac.
Yeah.
No.
This is you, Kelly, heartless.
Baby, you forgot the keys.
She doesn't care.
No. Well, I mean, I care. I prayed for you.
Al.
Thank you, baby.
He did have a very heartfelt post that he posted on Facebook. What was it, Al?
Poof.
The word poof.
Because it was, seriously, I got back and she wasn't there in that chair that she normally sits.
It felt like she disappeared.
I mean, honest question now. Did you tell her how you feel about her? Like, honestly,
I did tell her? I did.
Okay. That's all.
Yeah.
You don't have to post it anywhere. You don't have to say it at your karaoke. Yeah. But did you tell her honestly how you feel about her?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's between us. I don't post everything.
Sure. No, I know. And
there's an event coming up at McKinney Avenue, then I post every detail of that.
But you did tell her how you feel.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I didn't want her to leave and go to Detroit and be like...
No.
Okay,
there's
good.
No threat of that.
You didn't leave
Hopefully
her
He said it all in the word poof. What else are you going to say?
Well, it was the chair she usually sits
poof
at.
He said it all. Poof.
Poof.
I cried. I cried when she left.
Did you?
Yeah.
It was sad.
She's the longest girlfriend I've ever known of yours, ever.
Longest relationship I've ever had with a woman.
I love her.
Next to me.
Next to Kelly. Well, the woman.
That was a secret, though.
Well, the woman. You know what I'm saying?
I'm a woman.
You're a woman.
But I mean my woman.
Like, yo.
Like, boom.
5th, 15th, 25th woman.
She's a trooper to sit there and listen to the concert. That's from Al.
Yeah,
that's
I'm sorry.
Al, should I swipe right or left on you on Bumble? I'm going to swipe right just to be fun.
We're here for you, Al.
Yes.
We're here for you.
On Bumble.
Kelly, what's coming up in the Showbiz Top 5?
What is coming up? Celebrities sometimes think the rules don't apply to them, and 50 Cent found out the hard way. They do. He got arrested for running his mouth, and I'll tell you what happened in the Showbiz Top 5.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Jenna's back at it again with the curls.
Yeah, I'm getting ready. We have to film our television show. I know, I look like Shirley Temple right now. This is the behind the scenes.
That looks cool.
Wait till I brush it.
Curly hair. Don't care. Go to dishnation.com to see what time our show's on. We'll catch. We talk about celebrity stuff. And we play games against Atlanta.
There you go.
A lot. Kelly, I saw...
It's summer. We're in the mood for games.
We are in the mood for games. But I saw a post that you posted the other day on Facebook.
Right.
About receiving the memo on when you're supposed to show up with posters, balloons... Or decorated cars for random moments in your kids' lives.
Yeah. Because I keep showing up, just showing up.
Yeah.
Just you.
Because that's what you're supposed to do. I'm a parent, right?
I'm here to pick up my kid, and apparently that's not enough anymore. Because, like, I showed up for my daughter's last day of school, and the parking lot are all these cars decorated with shoe polish and balloons.
Their graduation years and what all.
What grade
is it? Elementary school.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I didn't do that. I just... showed up to get her, and then I feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
Because my daughter didn't get that.
Now, were you driving?
But I didn't
know. Driver?
I was driving. And then I show up to pick her up from camp, and I didn't get the memo that we're supposed to bring posters, welcome home posters, and things like that. I just don't know, and I just feel bad because I don't know to do that. There's not a handbook.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you where the problem is Pinterest.
Is it Pinterest?
Pinterest.
Because moms get on there and they find all these really great ideas and they do them and then they make the rest of the moms who don't go on Pinterest feel bad about themselves.
Well, you're not going to do it anyway because you don't like doing stuff.
Well, she's too busy.
No,
for
like
Pinterest.
When I found out the night before my daughter went to camp that you're supposed to have a letter for your child each day that they leave on their bed. Thanks for the one night notice. I sat up to midnight writing 5 different letters for my daughter to have.
Oh, man.
So when she wouldn't be the only one in her cabin, I don't know if other parents aren't doing it. If I'd be the only one that didn't do it, she wouldn't get a letter.
Is it not more like...
I just don't know what to do. And I feel inadequate. I feel like a failure.
Yeah.
I overcompensate by buying her stuff to make it better later.
Sure.
Because you didn't get a welcome home poster. And you didn't get shaving cream on the windshield. I'm very sorry, honey. Let's just go home now.
Is it just parents like peacocking and putting the feathers out to show off?
I don't know.
How cool they are.
I get that there are certain things in a child's life that are very big deals.
Has she said anything to you? like, about it.
You didn't do this to me.
That?
You ruined
no,
my life.
She did talk about the letters. Mm-hmm. She did like that. But uh-huh. She didn't say anything about the posters yet. I just kind of shuffled her off as quickly as possible.
Because what?
I don't know what she's going to expect. At what point it becomes where, Mom, I'm the only one that didn't get blank.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. You feeding them. You providing them with a house, a mm-hmm. roof over their head.
Check.
You giving her clothes put on her back.
Check.
Got her a nanny, a good nanny.
Check.
I think you're doing all right.
She has a phone.
Take her. Yeah, she has a cell phone.
Check.
She's got
a freaking mural of her own face at her house.
I tell you, I'm overcompensating because
she's
I didn't show up with a poster.
She's fine, Kelly.
Honey, your poster's at home. It's permanent.
Yeah.
Right.
She should call it on first world
wall.
Problem.
Go home and look at your wall.
You don't need to get her all that stuff. What grade was she in? Fifth?
My mom, Kelly, she's
getting ready to go into the fourth.
Going into fourth grade. Well, you know what? You're supposed to go into fourth grade.
Right.
Well, why are you supposed to celebrate something that you're supposed to do?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I know, I get it. That it's fun. A lot of women are crafty and they get all these fun ideas and you have to, what's the point of doing it if you don't show them off?
Look, and it's.
But like my cousin, she does these cute little gift baskets to give to all the teachers at the end of summer. I'm like, oh, I didn't do a gift basket for all the teachers.
Why don't you just buy in on it? Get work with one of the parents who's already doing all this stuff.
You got two jobs at this point.
Pay them to feed her, Grandma Kelly.
Feed her and keep her off the pole. You, so far, have done
she's
both of
those.
Going
into the fourth grade.
Well, she's going
along. You can't bring up a pole when it comes
she
to fourth graders.
She is traveling down the road of not being on
they
the pole.
They start young. They
you
recruit
are,
young
you
these
You are
days.
Doing
they
an excellent
no.
job.
I want
to see your peacock. That's Emma Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah. Where was that?
The Katy Perry documentary. No, my goal so far, and I've been successful, my daughter hates smoking.
Yeah.
Good.
Tattoos.
Yeah.
And glitter.
Does she hate
so those are my, not you.
She could not
she
work in a strip
one.
Club.
Oh, okay.
So ultimately, these will lead her to a life away from the pole, hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She'll never work at the Met, that's for sure.
My wife wanted me and her to make a congratulations sign to my son. I'm like, Kinsey, he can't even read it.
Congratulations for what, though?
For what? Because he finished his little schoolhouse thing. Like,
see, and I don't know.
Made it home from daycare.
It didn't used to be like this.
No.
It didn't used to
now.
Be.
And
I'm telling you, it's
now.
Pinterest, and which is great. There's some fun ideas in there, but man, you're like making me look bad.
Right. Stop making us look bad, other parents.
That's all it is. It's just how I look.
I say
don't
that.
Buy a bunch of stock balloons, and then you always have something ready to go to blow up on the way to pick her up.
I'll get my own helium tank. Save
there
money.
You go.
Our luck, she'll show up with, it's a boy.
Yeah.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
It's like Kid Nation's got your back with this whole celebration thing for the little things, Kelly.
I just don't. I mean, some things are big things, and they do need to be celebrated. Sure. I just feel bad when I don't get the memo and show up with nothing.
Right.
And I'm like one of the handful of the moms standing there like, well, we feel like idiots, you know?
Right. Like high school graduation, I could see that. Yes, that's a big deal.
What do you do? I mean, what's the limit?
Maybe like a balloon.
I didn't get that. Yeah, you get a gift when you graduate high school. Yeah.
College for sure, because that's a big deal.
Sure.
I can understand a parent being excited.
We went to dinner after. They didn't show up. They didn't decorate my car.
But the whole posters thing, and you block people's views during the little celebration or graduation with those huge balloons and the posters.
I feel like once you start, you can't stop.
I know.
And here's a good fact, solid point here from the text.
Okay.
Working moms unite. She's not going to remember the posters. That is so right. She'll remember you being there. She's not going to remember if you had a poster or not.
Yep.
If every situation becomes a celebration, then the moments that are true celebrations will never be seen special enough. It's a slippery slope to start celebrating every moment. You're a great mom, Kelly.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
No, you're
a good mom.
You're a great mom.
My daughter got her first sunburn this weekend. I have her whole life. She's 9.5 years old. She's gone her whole life without a sunburn until this weekend. And I was even, you know, she's out in the pool for 4.5 hours. Mm-hmm. I even got some sun too. I mean, and I SPF to death, you know, but she's got half Persian blood. So I'm used to her being able to stay out longer. And I, about 2 hours in the pool, I'm like, man, we really need to put in some more sunscreen. McKelly, I'm fine. I never get burned. I know, Caleb, we really need to. And so anyway,
Got sunburn.
She got sunburn. And that night I was telling her how sorry I am. She goes, Mama, it's not your fault.
It was hers.
She said, it's not. But it was my fault because I'm the parent. I should have forced her and let her pout at me and done it anyway.
But sometimes they need to learn by experience.
She said, it's not your fault. She said, it's my fault.
Yeah.
My daughter.
You told her to put it on. She didn't listen.
Well,
now she knows.
I'm still the parent. I should have made her do it.
Where was the burn?
On her shoulders.
Her shoulders?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten the sunburn on like the top of your feet?
Yeah, hurt.
That is the worst one.
Yeah, they get all swollen.
Yeah. My mom and I, my mom took my friend with us, and he's very fair-skinned when we were, like, in fifth grade to the beach.
Yeah.
And I tan okay because I'm Mexican, so my skin doesn't get sunburned too bad. But he was so fair-skinned that he forgot to put some lotion on his feet. Mm. His feet got so sunburned that he missed 3 days of school.
He
couldn't put shoes on.
Sun poisoning, which is the worst.
It was bad.
I got to go to Mexico next week, and now I'm so freaked out. I'm going to go try to find one of those rash guards, those swim shirts, which make...
Those are sexy.
I know, but ow.
It's just like Under Armour.
They make cute ones now.
They do make cute ones.
Yeah.
But
so you're out in the sun with this big thing on?
It's not big.
Long sleeve.
It's tight.
It's like a long sleeve one piece.
Yeah. It's like a scuba suit?
Yeah, basically.
Sort of.
Basically. But I mean, I have no, what am I going to do? It's either I go out there and try to be cute and fry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fun being me during the summer. It's not fun being me most of the year.
Whose idea was it to go to the beach? Yours or Alan's?
My friend Amy. She and her husband Russ are having birthdays. Okay, that's right. And so a bunch of people are going.
They're the married couple with the same birthday?
Same exact birthday, 10 years apart.
Wait, we're all going to the beach but Al.
I might go.
He's thinking about it.
I might. If I can swing it.
Let me give you a tip here, sir. Hmm. Get a ticket to Detroit. If you're going to go anywhere.
Dude. I've already talked. We talked about that.
She's got to study, like, hardcore. She doesn't have any time.
She's not going to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, then you can go to the beach with us.
Well, thanks, man.
You have plenty of time to go with us. You'll be fine. Jenna, you're going to the beach.
Yeah, I'm going to Cali Beach. You guys are going
to California,
right? Yeah.
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 Pacific Coast.
Yeah. Did you finally see, we were talking about the gym guy, the hot gym guy.
Okay,
gym.
It was last Sunday,
right.
Not yesterday, Sunday, last Sunday that
full
I
week.
Saw a guy I'd never seen before, and he started talking to me. We talked for a few minutes. He was super cute, kind of traded gym schedules. So I went every day, Monday
every
through
day.
Friday.
After
I don't know. I take that back because I box one or two days a week. So Saturday morning I box, Monday I box. But all the other days I was there. Yeah, I bought a new outfit.
Trying to catch
cute
gym,
at the gym. Trying to catch the gym guy. I was so tired. I realized I worked out 8 days in a row. I can't tell you the last time I did that. I didn't go yesterday.
Love Carl. Love her.
I know. I didn't go yesterday. I was like, I need the day off, even though
he was there.
I hadn't seen him, and maybe he was there.
That would have been great if you got a call from one of your girlfriends, like, Jenna, he's here.
No one knows who he is, though.
Only
you
know who he is?
Yeah, like, I don't know. My girlfriends don't know.
Maybe you were hallucinating. He doesn't exist.
He does exist, but
it's been
at this
a week.
Point, I know.
He'll be there tomorrow. He said Tuesday, I think. You're right.
Yeah, he said Tuesday, Thursday. Tuesday, but that's it. And then I'm out of town. So this
he's
is
gone.
It. This is it. He's gone.
Man.
It's all right.
We want to see Jim.
He'll be there.
Oh, did I tell you I got my, remember I had the dude that I saw at my gym and I wanted to be workout buddies?
Oh, yes.
But we didn't know who should talk to who.
Yeah.
He came up to me on Friday.
He came up to you?
Yeah, we started talking. And then it's weird because getting a gym buddy is like almost
my gosh,
like
your story's paralleling mine.
It's almost like a relationship, yeah, but
totally.
but without the other stuff.
Without the
and
other
it was because you get all like weird when you're talking. It's like, hey man, so, and then he finally goes, look, do you want to work out together?
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, I thought you'd never ask.
So you have a gym boyfriend.
Yeah, so we're not boyfriend,
you have a
partner.
Gym boyfriend.
It is.
Gym
boyfriend.
It's a gym partner.
It's a gym boyfriend.
The gym partner.
Oh, your partner.
Oh,
yeah, right.
No, my gym.
Same implication.
Gym homie.
Gym lover.
It's legal in several states, JC.
So, yeah, so we're gonna today's our first workout date.
Same-sex gym partner.
Wow.
Dang it.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.